भगवान स्टार्ट्स दिस चैप्टर फोर्थ चैप्टर बाय टॉकिंग टू अर्जुना अबाउट द नॉलेज द इटर्नल नॉलेज एज इटर्नल एज द क्रिएशन इटसेल्फ हाउ ग्रेट द नॉलेज इट इज सो अर्जुना कैन गेट सम इंस्पिरेशन सम करेज टू फाइट. We all know how confused he was at the beginning. And he also talks about the Guru Shishya Parampara. He talks about how he gave the teaching in the beginning to the Lord's son, from the Lord's son to Manu, from Manu to Ikshvaku, and so on. So he has talked about two aspects, the eternal knowledge, how great it is, and the Guru Shishya Parampara. And he also says that over the period of time, people have forgotten this knowledge. They have gone away from this knowledge. The enthusiasm is not there. The eagerness is not there. So people don't know this knowledge. And then he also says that I, as Ishvara, know all my previous births, but you as Jiva do not remember your previous births. So when the Lord says that I, as Ishvara, remember all my births, and when we hear about all the incarnations of the Lord, we as human beings slash the Jiva assumes the Lord has taken the form of this body, so-called body, which is made of the five elements. And we think that he has a body like ours. Then we also dwelt on the concept of Ishvara. What is Ishvara and what is Jiva? Ishvara is the total mind. Samashti, Upadhi, Upahit Chaitanya, that is the reflected consciousness in the total mind. And Jiva is the individual conditioning, like me, everybody here in the room is an individual. And then we have our conditioning, that is our flesh, our bones, the physical body, the form, and then the name, and then the religion. So this is an individual. So when we have this individual body with the conditionings, that is the Jiva. And Ishvara is a total mind with the reflected consciousness. So the consciousness aspect is the same, it's just the conditioning is different. And this is because of the aspect of Maya. So Ishvara is controlling the Maya, whereas Jiva is controlled by the Maya. So while Ishvara plays with the Maya and decides when to come, where to come, in what form to come, is all pre-decided, rather than coming here and then figuring out what to do. So when we talk about this, there will be a lot of concepts which will be kind of either against or not falling in line with some of the other philosophies, other lines of thinking, be it other religions or what. And there are some concepts which are totally unique to the Sanatana Dharma or the Vedic Dharma, like the totality, the Ishvara. When we talk about the total mind, so when we talk of total, then there is nothing excluded from the total. In the totality, everything is included. All the Jivas are included in this totality. So Ishvara slash totality is all-pervading, all-knowing, almighty. And Jiva is all included in this. So he's actually beyond the good and the bad. He's actually beyond the angels and the devils slash Satan. So he's beyond all of that. He has all the good and the right virtues in immeasurable quantity. The reason, so that we can dwell on this for our meditation. And he is the holder of the dharma. He upholds the dharma, the righteousness, the self-conduct, the right way. And then there is a description of Ishvara. Like we as an individual, Jiva, we have this body, the flesh, the name. Ishvara is described as this Virat Purusha. This entire world, like the trees and the plants, are the hairs on his body. All the mountains are his bones. The clouds are described as his hairstyle. Like, you know, he has a different hairstyle today. So this is a concept which is described in Bhagavatam. So we are all in this Virat Purusha. So he, being the creator, is responsible for the creation, the sustenance, and the dissolution. And then he creates and introduces this concept of karma. So he creates this concept of karma, and then everything is on autopilot. Whatever we do happens because of my karma. So we have something to blame. I did this karma, so I'm going to get this fruit. And then what about the good things? Well, it's the grace of the Lord. That's why we get it. Why somebody has this, why somebody does not have this. And as we go on this individual path of the spirituality, we figure out everything in the end is the grace of God. So once we figure this out, then the Lord talks about why he comes here and what does he do. Then this example of the seesaw was described by Anilji. So like in a park, when there is a seesaw and somebody is sitting on one and it's down. So that's our condition. So we as an individual, Jiva, are sitting on the seesaw and it's down. And the Lord comes and he sits on the other hand and the Jiva is lifted. So let's think of it this way. The Lord comes for the upliftment of the Jiva so that we rise above. So that's one of the simple ways to talk about why the Lord comes. And then in seventh shloka, he talks about whenever there is a decline of the dharma. Decline of the dharma means that people are feeling as if they're dragged into doing the right thing. There is no enthusiasm to follow the right conduct. And when that happens, abhyutthanam adharmasya, when overall the adharma is rising. So when we say the adharma is rising, so there are still some dharmic people left. There are people still who follow the dharmas. So when there are enough people who follow the dharma and they're fighting the adharma, but they're falling weak, then he would come. Then he would come in some form, and we'll talk about that. But when there is like total adharma, then he doesn't have to. Because then adharma is going to kill adharma. We hear about this all the time. Gang war going on. Different gangs are there. They are fighting among themselves. The police doesn't have to do much. They're going to sit and watch. Let them kill. What's the need for us to go? They are doing their job. So when it's full of adharma, then he doesn't have to worry about as much. But when the dharmic people are there, and they are falling weak, then he will come. And then in Bhagavatam, there are 24 avatars described. 24. So we'll talk about that as we go. So let's chant. I'll chant the first half, then we can chant later, and then we'll chant it together. So shloka number 8. Thanks to the Siriyu, we know most of these shlokas. And in these shlokas, the wonderful thing is, there is a very good blend of Advaita Vedanta, the concept of non-duality, and the devotion. Wonderful. And we'll dwell on this as we go, and we'll figure it out. And most of our questions that we have, and we had, and some of that we had in the last session also, will be automatically very clear. So let's chant number 8. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yoge yoge. To do it together. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yoge yoge. So paritranayam sadhunam, so overall protection of the sadhu people. Vinashaya cha dushkritam, destroying the evildoers. Dharma sansthapanarthaya, to re-establish the dharma. Sambhavami, I come yuge yuge, in different kalpas and yugas. So overall protection of the sadhu people, the sadhu. So who are the sadhu people? Sadhus are those who are titikshakahas, like who have a lot of endurance, forbearance. That's one quality. Then karunikaha, they are full of compassion, love for all. Sadhavahas, they are quiet and they are peaceful. And ajatashatravaha, they don't have any enemies, they are not enemy towards anybody. So these are the sadhu people. And these sadhus are the ornaments of the society. So that's one purpose, to protect the sadhus and to destroy the evildoers. That's the second purpose. And the third is to re-establish the dharma. Yuge yuge, from time to time. And then some text, there is also a version yuge a yuge, time and just like that. So we know, like, these avatars, different avatars, of course Bhagwan Krishna is there, Ram Bhagwan is there, then there are other avatars we know, and we'll talk about that. Hiranyaksha was killed by Narasimha Bhagwan. Then we have Varaha Avatar, Kurma Avatar, Matsya Avatar. So as these are described, there are like 24 of these described in Bhagavatam. And then there are some that he does without announcing. Like when in Mahabharata, Draupadi's Chirharan was going on, when her sari was pulled, Bhagwan Krishna just came and protected her. When Dhruva was going for his penance, when his father declined to let him sit on his lap, and then he went to the forest, did his penance, then Bhagwan came and gave him darshana. So there are a lot of times he just comes without even any announcement. And then there are some other cases. Like, for example, And this is a long, elaborate story. There were these two demons, Hiranyakashipu, very, very evil demons. So they were so evil, the whole earth was shaking because of their cruelty. They were wreaking havoc. And one of the brothers, Hiranyaksha, so he just liked to pick up fights. So he was looking to pick up a fight with everybody. So then one day he entered the ocean, and then he wanted to pick up a fight with the Lord of the water, the Varuna Bhagwan. So Varuna Bhagwan said, you know, I don't want to fight with you, I'm old. You know, you go and pick up a fight with Narayan Bhagwan. So he was looking for Narayan Bhagwan. The whole earth was completely shaking because of their cruelty. So Brahmaji was thinking, what's going to happen? Then suddenly from Brahmaji's nose, a small boar came, like a pig that we say, boar. Then suddenly, whoosh, he became big. And then, while everybody was looking, all the devatas were looking, he jumped in the, splashed in the ocean and just kept on going downwards, located the earth. These are all stories that are described in Bhagavatam. And lifted the earth on his nose and he started to bring it up. And then Hiranyaksha saw, like, who's this creature who's doing all this in my presence? So he then came and started, you know, challenging the boar, the Varaha Bhagwan. He kept going, you know, what is this? Hiranyaksha kept on attacking him. So once he came and kept the earth on the surface, then he turned towards him, and then the fight happened. And initially the Bhagwan was just playing with him, and then evening started to happen, and all the lords and the Brahmaji said, Bhagwan, you know, night time these demons become very powerful, do something, you know. Bhagwan said, okay, we'll do. And then as it's described in the Bhagavatam, just a small, like, you know, movement of the hand, like a small slap, he hit the Hiranyaksha and he died. Then all the devatas, you know, they showered praises on the Lord, and they showered all the petals and everything. So that's one story. So the point is, he came to do one specific job and that's it. There's no particular description of what happened after that, what went on. Like this, there are other descriptions, like Kurma Avatar, like a turtle. So when there was sea churning going on, so they needed the mountain to be placed on some surface. So he was there. So that's one. And that's all he did. Then there are other avatars, like Mohini, when she came out of the sea churning with the bowl of the Amrita. So that is one of the forms that is described of the Lord. Then there are others, like Bhagwan Rishabhdev. The name of the India, by the way, is named after his son, Rishabh's son, Bharat. Then there is another avatar, Prithu Bhagwan, Prithu, Raja Prithu, he came. Then the four Manasputras of Brahmaji, Sanak, Sanandan, Sanatan, and Sanat Kumar. So they are considered to be his avatars. Then Nar Narayan, the two sages, they are considered his avatars. Dhanvantari, the lord of the medicine, he is considered. Then it's also described Bhagwan Buddha. And then as time goes, and of course we have Bhagwan Ram is there. Krishna and Balram are there. Then of course, then everything ends towards the end of the Kali Yuga. Then the Kalki Bhagwan, it's described. So if we see in all of these incarnations, except Bhagwan Krishna, all of these avatars, they came for a specific short span of time. They did what they were supposed to do, and that's it. There's no further description about what happened. Bhagwan Krishna is different. He has a full life from the birth till the time he leaves. It is said in Bhagavatam, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. It is not said about anybody else, including the Lord Ram. Only about the Lord Krishna it is said, He is the Lord Himself. He comes with His full fame and glory. With everything He comes. And the full description goes, right from the moment He was born, the childhood activities that He did, being a small child, how He killed all the asuras, and then when He grew up, in His young age, adolescent age, He killed that asura Kams, His uncle. Then of course, with Pandavas, the Mahabharata, and then afterwards, His own clan, the Yaduvansha, when they were so adharmic, when they were fighting among each other, because there was nobody else to fight, left to fight them. All the Kauravas are gone. So His whole clan of Yaduvanshas, they were becoming very powerful. So He has to balance it out. So because of His grace and because of all His maya, that also went away. And then the Lord left. So He is described as a full, complete incarnation, not a part. All the others are called Amshavataras or Kalavataras, like some form of the Lord, some aspect of the Lord, not the entire Lord, except the Lord Krishna. He is a full incarnation in His entire glory. And then, a lot of times what happens is, when we study all this, then we are thinking like, what are we actually studying, right? So, whenever there is a talk going on, you know, when we talk about all these things, so people say, somebody comes and goes and attends these things, and they say, yeah, the talk was very good, but I don't know what was the topic of the talk. What was the topic? So we have lectures that happen, and then you have the class and other activities, other lectures go on. So to make them interesting, we see all this time, like here also, and other lectures also, that interesting, attracting topics are given. Mind management, living meditation, life management, so that people identify, okay, I'm going to go and listen to that. But the actual message is this, so that people come and get this. It happens all the time. So coming back to this, so Bhagavan comes and takes His incarnation to protect the sadhu people, who are considered to be the ornaments of the society, while they are carrying out their dharmic activities, their yagnas, the rituals. In those days, the rishis, they had the gurukulas. The tradition was to send the kids to the rishis so that they complete their education, come out, spreading the knowledge, the right path. But when these asuras were there, like Kamsa, his brothers, Ravana, when he was there, they were very powerful asuras. To kill all these powerful asuras, Bhagavan had to take a bigger form. Instead of sending a small form, like we just discussed, Varavatar and so on, he had to take a bigger part. And here, the Bhagavan Krishna comes Himself. There is a story, Akbar and Birbal. We've heard about this. Akbar was a famous king, and Birbal was one of his ministers. So once Birbal narrated this shloka to Akbar. So Akbar said, why does the Lord have to come Himself? So people say, okay, well, in due course of time, I will tell you what happened. So once they went for a picnic, and they went with their whole family and everything, and they went on a boat. So on the boat, one of Akbar's sons, they were just playing, and Birbal, he had some of his family members, they were strong, so they pushed him into the water. So Akbar saw this, so he took off his clothes and jumped himself in the water. Then he came out. Then he asked Birbal, how come, how did you have that much courage to do this? But then Birbal said, Bhagwan, Akbar, that is what is the meaning of this shloka. See, when something major happened, you came yourself, right? You jumped into the water yourself. And that is the meaning of the shloka. When something major is there, then the Lord Himself is going to come. And then what is the benefit of all this? These sadhu purushas, who are considered to be the ornaments of the society, when they spread the knowledge, for a common man like us, we are able to figure out, why are we here? What is the purpose of this life to me? What is dharma? What is adharma? When we know the right knowledge and the dharma, the concept of dispassion, vairagya comes, taking our vision away from the world, looking inwards. Because in a day-to-day life, we are all going after objects. So one of the wonderful meanings of dharma has been mentioned by Bhagwan Adi Shankaracharya. We have seen multiple meanings of dharma, the right conduct and so on and so forth, the true nature and so on. One of the words that has been described the dharma as abhyudaya nishreyas. Like in this shloka number 8, sorry, 7, you see abhyutthanam, so that's abhyudaya. Abhyudaya means overall, well-rounded, abhyudaya, nishreyas. Shreyas means best. Nishreyas means the very best. So overall, very best for the human. And what could that be? Liberation. Jivan Mukti. Moksha. That is the purpose of life. And that is what dharma leads us to. It's like this. See, if we have to go somewhere, without knowing where we are going, we cannot start. We cannot even prepare, because we don't even know where to go. In one of the previous lectures, we talked about like how there are like 9 different darshanas, philosophies are out there, the differences that we have, the Eastern philosophy and the Western philosophy. And some people have different ideas, different lineages are talked about. Why is all this? So, if I'm going to, for example, San Francisco, I know that in order to go there, how many different possible routes are there? I can take 99, I can take I-5, then I can also use 101. And then, if I want to end up in San Francisco, what preparation I do? What things I have packed? I have gassed up my car, the tires are well, I have the necessary things to go on the way. And then I start. And then how slow or how How many stops do I take? Am I getting there in 3.5 or 4 hours because I want to get there because that is my end goal? Or I'm just stopping here and there on the way, taking my own sweet time, coffee shops, you know, breaks and all. And then which route I take, the shortest route or the longer route. This is our condition. Then we have this thing that I've been studying for 15 years, 30 years, 40 years. I'm not seeing the benefit of this. At the time of crisis, when there is a question in life, when there is a situation, family, work, relations, there's only two things in this world that bothers, that will bother us. One is with money, how much money we are running after work to earn money. And then the second thing is relations. Relations could be among friends, social relations. These are the two main things that usually people have problem with. There's usually not third thing. And then of course there's about the self, disease, life, death, all those kind of things. But they're in general day to day, money and relations. So when we think that in this situation, the crisis situation, I get bothered, I get angry, I shouldn't get angry, I've studied, I should keep calm, I should be able to bring this knowledge at that time, it's not coming, then we start blaming the knowledge, the teacher, the guru, the shastra, scripture. What is the point? It's not helping me. So where is the snag? Where is the real problem? The problem is that I have not been able to differentiate myself, the real I, from the ego / the ahankar. Everything under Om is how I interact in this world every single day. Suppose one of us is here in this room, myself. So I could be the witness. I see what is going on in the class. I'm just observing other people, or observing the speaker, and I'm just a witness. And then when somebody is asking me, where are you? I am in the Gita hall. So when I say this, that I is with respect to my physical locality, which is related to the ahankar, the ego, the subtle body, the mind and intellect. That's what makes me what I is, right? In everyday, day-to-day life and day-to-day interaction. But then for that, we have the real I also, the true consciousness. So the true consciousness is the witness, the sakshi, the drishta of everything. But when we do the interaction in the world, we have the ahankara, the ego. And to interact in this world, we need that. But keeping this in mind, that is not me. Once we have this preparation, and it takes years, 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 and practice how well I'm preparing myself. If I'm going to my test, first of all, knowing where to go, right? And that's what the purpose of dharma is. It tells us the real purpose of dharma, the real purpose of life is to follow dharma, so dharma can lead us towards moksha or the liberation or the jivan mukti. And that is the real purpose. To do that, if I am preparing myself properly, then I'll be able to handle myself. So, in a problem time, example, I'm drowning, and I'm going to think, why am I drowning? I'm drowning because I did not learn swimming. That is why I'm going to drown. As simple as that. If I've learned swimming, if I've given time to that practice, I will not be drowning. The more I learn, the better swimmer I am, I'm not going to drown.